On today's show, we continue our off-season look around the SEC. Today, we will talk the Auburn Tigers with our buddy Zach Blackerby, host of Locked On Auburn. Of course, Auburn now the number one team in the country when it comes to basketball. How long before Auburn football is number one? It might be a while. We'll talk all about that with Zach Blackerby. We'll also go around the conference. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome to Locked On SEC. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Experience the game like never before with the Sonos Arc, the premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. Visit Sonos.com to learn more. I'm Chris Gordy. Welcome into Locked On SEC. Thank you so much for making us your first listen every day. Reminder, you can find us on YouTube as well as at LockedOnSEC.com. And without further ado, let's just jump right into it. Let's bring in our buddy Zach Blackerby, host of Locked On Auburn, because we have got a lot to get into with you, Zach. How are you, sir?
I am great, Gordy. Yeah, a lot of stuff happening down here on the plains.
Yeah, I'll say. I want to get, we'll get to basketball in just a bit because super excited for
we
you guys.
To talk about football.
Finally,
have to talk about football.
Finally, the number one team in basketball. You had to wait a week, but finally there. We'll touch on that in a little bit, but we got to start with Auburn football, some changes happening this past week. When I first heard Derek Mason might be leaving, I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's just using this as a leverage play, try to get some more money out of Auburn. And then we find out, no, indeed, after one season as DC at Auburn, he is leaving. I guess, what was your reaction? And what does this say about the Auburn football program with the OC and DC gone after just the first year with Brian Harsin?
I think you can take this one of two different ways, Gordy. I think the way the positive Auburn fan is looking at it is saying Brian Harsin wants things done a certain way, and so he is going to get folks around him that will do it the way that he wants to do it. I think you saw that with him kind of taking his time with the OC search and ultimately falling with Austin Davis. And then on the other side of it, I think with Derek Mason leaving, it was kind of always assumed that the next guy in waiting, was one of the many guys that followed Harsin over from Boise State. And so I think when you look at all of that, it's like, okay, all right, you know, Brian Harsin wants his dudes, and then you can either let him succeed with his dudes or you can have him fall with his dudes. But whatever it's going to be, it's going to be, you know, Auburn with Jeff Schmetting as defensive coordinator, who was his defensive coordinator when he was at Boise, followed him over, was a linebackers coach and all that good stuff. And so he has since been elevated, which that was kind of the writing on the wall every step of the way. And so, you know, I think they thought Derek Mason would leave in a different way. I think that he would find a lot of success and then perhaps would get a chance to be a head coach again somewhere in the future. But that was not the case. I think the other way to look at it is Derek Mason saw the writing on the wall and he got out because of disagreements of how players ought to be recruited is kind of the big thing that I'm hearing at NIL. Derek Mason appeared to be the coach on staff that understood NIL more than anyone else. And it sounds like there were some differences and he left. And I think that's that. And so is that a concern? I think it is. A lot of people telling me in my YouTube comments on Locked On Auburn yesterday that it's not. I'd love to hear that argument, but yeah, so I think that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, I think there, you know, part of it is you kind of knew, okay, you know, maybe he'll be here another year, maybe he'll get another shot at a head coaching gig. Yeah. You know, the defense was good overall, I think, this year at Auburn. Could it have been better? Sure. Certainly would have liked to have gotten a stop on that last drive in the Iron Bowl. Sorry to bring that up.
Wow, we're doing this. Okay.
But that's I also think there's been an argument on the other side that he did see the writing on the wall. Man, this Harsin thing's not going well. This guy's probably going to be fired next year. Let me get cart before the horse and let me get out of here and let me go find another opportunity. I think all those are reasonable arguments. Let's touch a little bit on some of the names that they are promoting and bringing in. You mentioned Jeff Schmetting gets bumped up to D.C., so now he's got his guys in Austin Davis and Jeff Schmetting as O.C. in D.C. But I did like some of the other moves. Jimmy Brumbaugh being brought back as the defensive line coach I think is a great move. And then Christian Robinson, a guy very highly thought of with the Gators the past few years and got a chance to show what he could do with the Florida Gators this past year. Just thoughts on the overall staff as it's assembled now.
I think it's fine. I think it makes sense. The Christian Robinson hire kind of popped out of nowhere, but that was a pleasant surprise. I think the emergence of Zach Etheridge is kind of coaching the whole defensive backfield is nice because Derek Mason was also the safeties coach on top of DC. And so now it sounds like Schmetting's just going to kind of like fill in wherever is needed on the defensive side of the ball. Jimmy Brumbaugh is a name that I hadn't really heard a whole lot about. You know, all the reports were Harsin was looking at the NFL again. I mean, that's what he did with Eason. You know, they kind of got him from the Cincinnati Bengals, and there were kind of talks, you know, do they look at the Arizona Cardinals? Do they look at the Tennessee Titans? And so now that that's done, you know, they went with the former player route, which I think is fine because you need help recruiting the SEC. And look, this is an attractive job. I mean, Auburn's strength is the defensive line. They've got a ton of really talented defensive linemen. Folks, it really probably surprised some people when they announced the comeback with Colby Wooden and Derek Hall, Ekwu Liotta, Marquise Burks, Jason Jones transferring in from Oregon. So they've got a lot of guys that that can make an impact in 2022. And so Brumbaugh will have plenty of weapons and plenty of toys to play with as he prepares to, you know, try to stop opposing offenses with them.
More with Zach Blackerby in just a second. But, of course, need to remind you guys about Bet Online. They are wishing you a happy new betting year as we continue to march through the NFL playoffs. NFC Championship and AFC Championship games are set for this weekend. And Bet Online, they remain your number one spot for all the best sports wagering for this year. It's a new year. They got a new updated desktop and mobile website you can check out today. And when you sign up, if you've never signed up before, you get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Put that in as the promo code. That'll get you your 50% welcome bonus from football to basketball to hockey, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. They have got you covered. Don't wait to take advantage of all their amazing offers they have got for you throughout 2022. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, it is where the game starts. Continuing on here, Locked On SEC, catching up with our buddy Zach Blackerby, host of Locked On Auburn. And Zach, before we transition to basketball, I did have a couple of more football questions for you real quick. Since we last talked, you got a calzone. You got a Zach Calzada added to your quarterback room.
Not talked since then? I guess we haven't.
Yeah, I don't think so. What do you make of where this quarterback room is right now for Auburn with Zach Calzada, TJ Finley, Demetrius Davis, and of course the freshman that they bring in? I mean, it seems like it's a little bit of a crowded room right now when you add the kid from Oregon as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think though, when it comes down to like who's legitimately got a chance to be the starter in 2022, I think it's either the Calzone, I think it's either Calzada, or I think it's Finley. I think that's it. As far as competition, I think this is a good thing. It always seemed like Harsin was going to bring in another name for the sake of competition. I think Calzada is the favorite to win the starting job at this point. And, you know, I don't think Calzada was impressive in 2021 as A&M's starting quarterback. I think A&M had a lot of talent around him, but you look at the high points of what he was able to do and his traits, and you can say, okay, if he could do this more consistently, you know, maybe he could be a really solid player. But my stance on this has not changed in regards to I don't care if Auburn would have won the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. Until Auburn gets an offensive line and wide receivers, it doesn't matter who's, you know, under center, because they need more than just Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter and John Samuel Shanker at tight end to be competitive offensively. And, you know, I think you can make the argument that if you would have gotten a high caliber guy like Caleb Williams, maybe guys would have joined him. But you're not going to get that with a guy like Zach Calzada, or at least we haven't seen it yet.
What do you make of all the departures we've seen here in just the past, say about 2 to 3 weeks, when you talk about Kobe Hudson and Lee Hunter jumping over to UCF to go reunite with Gus Malzahn, J.J. Pegues going to Ole Miss, Romello Height running off to USC? It feels like, I mean, everybody's experiencing hits for the transfer portal, but it feels like Auburn is losing more guys than they're bringing in through the portal right now.
Yeah, but I think also Auburn was expecting to lose a lot of dudes, especially on the defensive front, like we just mentioned. I mean, if Auburn would have landed Kobe Wooden or somebody as good as Kobe Wooden in the portal, they would be ecstatic, and that would be a huge story, but it's not viewed that way. And so in the age of the portal, when you have your edge players coming back, your two starting edge players with Ekwu and Derek Hall, of course you're going to lose the guy behind him, which was Romello Height. Same with, you know, your interior guys, with you going to get a guy like Jason Jones and Marquise Burks is returning. It's like, okay, yeah, of course you're going to lose the guy behind them, which was J.J. Pegues. So I don't think it's a big deal, Gordy, in the sense of 2022, but Auburn's about to lose that pretty much that whole defensive line after the 2022 season. And so then it's like, okay, they probably thought Lee Hunter was going to be like their ace in the hole to lead that unit in 2023, and they're not really going to have that anymore. But still, I think with the current state of things, you can go out and just rebuild the whole position group if you need to. I think that's kind of what we're looking at. So I don't think it's a huge deal. I think some of them were probably mutual departures. I think some of those maybe were encouraged. And you're seeing this with every team in the SEC and really every team in Division I college football now, because you want to make sure you hit that 7, and then, you know, you kind of get more scholarships. So if Auburn can bring in 32 and they have, I believe, 8 more scholarships to give to hit that 85 for 2022. So I got a feeling you're going to see Auburn go get probably 3 more high school kids with the later signing date. And then I think you'll see them after spring kind of pick up a few other guys to kind of get ready for fall.
Classes have already started for the spring semester, so I think, you know, as we start to look at that, guys are starting to get back into the weight room, and right, before we know it, spring ball is going to be here, and we'll be talking spring game and all that. What's your biggest question for this Auburn team heading into the spring?
It's all about the offense. A few jumped into my head, Gordy, so I don't know if one's necessarily the biggest. I guess the biggest, and this is boring for your podcast, but like, who's the starting quarterback? Like, that's the aspect of it. Does the offensive line get better from last season to this season? Auburn was a good pass protection team. They were not good at paving the way for their running backs, their elite running backs. So can they improve in the in run blocking? And who's going to step up at wide receiver? You mentioned Kobe Hudson is gone. Jedrick Jackson is coming back. He was probably Auburn's number 3 receiver as far as, you know, pecking order goes. Demetrius Robertson was probably Auburn's number 2 guy. He is gone. So I don't know what they do there. Is the answer to that on the roster? Because Auburn pursued transfer linemen. They just never really got anywhere with them.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen them pursue transfer receivers, which they didn't really do last year either. We all kind of expected them to. So maybe they feel good with what they have in the room. And so that, I guess those are all of my questions as far as, you know, what does the offense look like as a whole under Austin Davis, under Brian Harsin calling plays, and how does it all kind of meld together? Can you take a step forward? Because I think the offensive line is a net positive from a season ago. You lose Broderius Ham, but pretty much everybody else is coming back. I think quarterback is a step back. I think Bo Nix is better than anyone that we've seen so far with this combination of talent and experience. And there's Auburn folks watching this. D. Davis. Like, yes, D. Davis is talented, but we don't know what he can do at the next level yet. We just haven't seen it.
Yeah, I wish they would have played him more this year, you know, at least seen a good samples, especially when you made the move and you benched Bo Nix and you went to TJ Finley, and, you know, it was largely inconsistent. It just, to me, opened the door, put Demetrius Davis out there, just see what he can do for an extended period of time. But we didn't see that. And now big question marks with Auburn. Just a quick thought to close out our football talk.
Sure.
I mean, what are we talking about a year ago right now with Brian Harsin? Does he turn this thing around? I mean, we were so high on him, week 8, week 9 of the season, and then they went on that slide. What is the perspective a year from now? What are you predicting we'll be saying about Brian Harsin a year from now?
I think Auburn fans still want to see what he was preaching when he got here, which was 4th-and-1 mentality, hard-nosed football, and, you know, just kind of winning the day. And, you know, I've talked to a few of its players that have now entered the draft. Zacoby McClain came on the show last week, and he talked about, you know, just the emphasis of Harsin. Like, he taught me just how to win the day, take it one day at a time, 1-0 mentality. And it's like, I don't think we saw that on the field. I think you saw part of it. It's just not a full commitment to it. And so is that him? You know, is it the fact that he inherited another guy's team? I don't know. So I think Auburn fans want to see more of that in 2022. I'm just thinking back from a year ago. I mean, we were just talking about how much better of a play caller he would be and how much better of a schemer he would be. And I think for the most part, that held true. I just think there's some teams that he played against that he was just out-talented. And then towards the end of the year when Bo got hurt, the offense just went out the window.
Yeah,
so,
it's a good point. If I had chopped up film of Gus Malzahn's offense and Brian Harsin's offense and just showed them to you, would you be able to say, oh, this is way better, this is way different than what we saw? You know what I mean? It's a good point. I think you're right. I think overall, probably yes. But, man, Gus is grabbing every SEC player he can now coming to UCF. He's gonna try to rebuild that thing, make him an SEC light team out there in Orlando.
Yeah, and good for them. I mean, with his competition, Kobe Hudson's probably a good receiver at that level. And you know, Lee Hunter, I mean, can you imagine if Lee Hunter would have gone straight there? I mean, The excitement around that, you know, getting an absolute stud out of, you know, South Alabama to go there. So, yeah, good for Gus.
Well, speaking of stud, there is a stud in the city of Auburn right now, and that is the basketball team. Bruce Pearl doing a fantastic job. The students camping out the Auburn jungle, camping out over the weekend. Student section was loud and rocking, and they helped them get the win over Kentucky over the weekend, a monster win, 80-71, and clearly this week named the number one team in the country. I've watched them. I mean, they're, in my mind, this is a team that should be Final Four bound. They're not only the best team in the SEC, they're the best team in the country. Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith are just on another level. What have you seen out of this team, and how fun has it been able to watch so far?
It's like a hydra, Gordy. You cut off one head, Jabari Smith takes a breather, and more dudes step up and find ways to contribute. I mean, there's 10 or 11 dudes, if you want to count Lior Berman, the walk-on, 11 guys that can really, really impact the way a game goes. And they do it in so many different ways. I mean, Jabari Smith, you know, dropping daggers over double teams, or Katie Johnson finding ways to step up on defense and just kind of get the place pumping because he's such an emotional player. Wendell Green shooting from the logo. Gordy, the unsung heroes on all this, though, are guys that I just don't think get enough credit. Like Zepp Jasper, the starting guard, he played 17 minutes. He scored 2 points on one shot, but he had a plus-minus of plus 17 in 17 minutes against the Kentucky Wildcats. And then you also had guys like Jalen Williams, who was probably Auburn's best player last season, who's coming off the bench. He played 10 minutes. He was 2 for 2, made all 3 of his free throws, scored 7 points in just those 10 minutes. I mean, guys like that, and you, I mean, there's just so many guys that can find ways to beat you. And so, you know, a lot of folks talking about how, well, Sevier Wheeler hadn't have gotten hurt.
Yeah.
You know, Kentucky would have won. And it's like, you look at the box score, he played 36 minutes. Wheeler played more than any Auburn player did Saturday. Any of them.
Yeah,
and so it's just because there's so much depth and there's so much rotation, and they figured out how to play with one another, and it's really they're the best team in college basketball. I don't think you can spin it any other way.
Yeah, I think Ty Washington, if he plays the whole game, I think, you know, some people thought, all right, maybe Kentucky keeps the foot on the gas pedal, because granted, their offense, I mean, they got outscored 51-38 in the second half, but I thought it was defensively. Oscar Tshiebwe still played, and you know, Auburn still got to the rim as much as they wanted. It's funny to say you held a guy to 14 rebounds, but holding Oscar Tshiebwe to 14 rebounds is a win for Auburn because he's been so dominant on the boards, 20-plus rebounds in a handful of games this year. So,
and he's not the tallest dude either, Gordy. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, maybe Kessler's height will provide a mismatch. And it's like, no, that dude does not care how tall you are. That guy is going to go get the basketball on either side of the court. It's really, really fun to watch.
What's the biggest challenge in closing here for Auburn basketball? I mean, is it just staying focused? And I mean, obviously staying healthy is a big thing, but man, I look at their schedule and yeah, they still got to go to Tennessee, to Florida, to Arkansas, some big games coming up. But I mean, it does feel like when you have a team this good and this talented, the challenge is keeping them focused and keeping them on the task at hand, because it is easy to just look ahead and say, oh, we got this.
Yeah. And, you know, right before we sat down to have this conversation, Gordy, I talked to Zepp Jasper, Auburn's guard, but he, I asked him that very question. And this team's hungry. This team, they all prepped this offseason, getting ready for the season, with the mindset of, we are here to win a championship. We are not prepping to be the number one team in the country. We are not prepping to beat Kentucky. We're not prepping to get a number one seed. They want to win championships, whether it's the SEC championship, whether it's the national championship. That's their mentality. It's like, I congratulated Zepp off camera about being number one. And he's like, yeah, thanks. But, job's not done. And they're being legitimate. I don't think it's just, what they're talking to media. I think they're legitimately like, yeah, this is cool. And it means a ton for the fans. It's a way to give back because they've supported us so much. But I really don't think they're so concerned about being at the top of the mountain right now, because they still are looking at things like, we could still be a ton better. Like, if we take care of the basketball in the first half, that game's not even close. And so I think that's kind of how you approach it. But yeah, you mentioned the tough ones, Gordy. In Gainesville, I've got that one circled. When they go to Fayetteville, it just depends on which Arkansas team shows up. It's so all over the place. And you can really make the case for most SEC teams. They're being all over the place this year. And then the last one, Alabama, even though it's in Auburn Arena. Of course, Auburn beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. But Alabama, they are skidding right now. And if they beat Auburn, especially if Auburn's still number one at that time, it saves a lot of things. And that's just kind of the way that Nate Oates is. And Alabama's done good against good teams this year, like Gonzaga and others. So those are the three that I'm looking at right now, where it's like, okay, Auburn may drop one of those, but we'll have to wait and see.
And the one that we thought was going to be a monster one, the Big 12 SEC Challenge. And you get Oklahoma, national game on ESPN this Saturday, but lo and behold, Oklahoma's lost like four of their last five or whatever. So they've not been, as good as they typically are in recent years. So, but it's still a good, tough opponent from the Big 12 to measure yourself up against and take advantage of. He is Zach Blackerby, host of Locked On Auburn. Let our listeners know what you got up on the podcast this week.
Yeah, Locked On Auburn, available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm on Twitter and all socials at Z Blackerby. But yeah, conversation with Zepp Jasper is up. Also, on Thursday, I will be joined by John Samuel Shanker, Auburn's tight end, who is coming back for a super senior season, had the best year an Auburn tight end has ever had on the Plains. So his perspective on the new offense and all of that will be very, very interesting. So all that and more every single day, wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach, great stuff, man. We'll do it again real soon.
Thanks, Gordy.
All right, that's Zach Blackerby, host of Locked On Auburn. When we return, we will go around the conference. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. And a reminder for our SEC fans out there, there is an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It is Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. You just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play. Use our promo code SCORE, and you'll get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Download the app. Use our code SCORE. Get up to 50 cents cash back on your first tank. And the best part is you can cash out anytime you want. The cash gets added right to your account. You can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, whatever. Again, download the free Get Upside app. Use our promo code SCORE. Get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code SCORE at Get Upside. Right along here, Locked On SEC. Thank you guys for making us your first listen every day. Appreciate Zach Blackerby talking all things Auburn with us. But let's jump into it. We got plenty we got to discuss. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Intercepted.
Makes the handoff.
What a catch.
Around the conference.
And we start over at Auburn as Bruce Pearl has made some comments since his team has been ranked number one in the AP poll. He said, look, the number one ranking matters to us because it's historical. I'm very happy for Auburn, very happy for my coaches and our players. Auburn climbed past Gonzaga to number one in the AP Top 25 poll, which was released on Monday. The Tigers beat Kentucky over the weekend for their 15th consecutive win. Meanwhile, we told you about Jermaine Burton, wide receiver from Georgia, transferring to Alabama. Well, one of his ex-teammates sounding off on his move. Mecole Hardman, now with the Kansas City Chiefs, took to social media to call out Jermaine Burton, criticizing him on Instagram, writing out,
How do you go to the team we just beat and leave a team you won the Natty with? So some harsh words there. Look, I can see it from Jermaine Burton's perspective. Alabama loses John Mechie. They lose Jameson Williams. Big hole and void there for the Heisman Trophy winner and Bryce Young for him to go over there and be the number one or number two guy and be very productive. Maybe win a title with Bama. But I can also see the counter. Stay with Georgia. Stetson Bennett's coming back. You could still be very productive with the Georgia Bulldogs and maybe try to run it back and try to win a title there and repeat. So I can see it from both sides, but pretty interesting. Mecole Hardman calling out Jermaine Burton. Meanwhile, Tennessee, they made an addition to their roster on Monday. According to 24/7 Sports, former Nebraska linebacker Jackson Hanna has been added to the Vols roster as a preferred walk-on. He's a Nashville native, so he's heading back home to his home state. He will have 3 years of eligibility remaining. Played in all 12 games for the Cornhuskers last year, mostly on special teams. Recorded one tackle, the only one on his resume in his Nebraska career. He was a three-star prospect in 2019. South Carolina, they are losing a defender to the transfer portal, according to On3 Sports. Freshman linebacker Colby Fields is entering the portal. As Matt Zenitz reports, Fields was committed to Oklahoma State and Memphis before he eventually headed to South Carolina. So those schools could be two to keep an eye on. Fields appeared in four games this year for the Gamecocks, recording his only tackle of the season against Florida. Speaking of Florida, Tyrone Hopper, who we've talked about a couple times, last week he entered the portal only to reverse course like 24 hours later and say he was staying at Florida. Well, now On3 Sports is reporting that he is back in the transfer portal. So Matt Zenitz says, keep an eye on Auburn and Missouri as a potential landing spots for Hopper. His former top 70 overall recruit posted 65 tackles, 3.5 sacks for the Gators last year. Made 4 starts for the Gators. So it leaves the Gators pretty thin at linebacker if he does indeed transfer. But who knows? He already transferred, entered the portal once and came out. Maybe he'll pull his name back out of the portal again. Former Alabama linebacker Shane Lee, he announced he is officially transferring to USC. He entered the portal back on January 13th. He's a Baltimore, Maryland native, was an all-SEC selection a couple of years ago, recorded 86 tackles. This year, he played in 11 games for Bama, making just 7 tackles. Former 4-star prospect, was ranked the nation's number 78 overall prospect in 2019, but he is headed out to play for Lincoln Riley and USC. Arkansas cornerbacks coach Sam Carter is on his way out after 2 years under Sam Pittman in Fayetteville. On3 Sports reporting Carter has decided to accept the same position on Lane Kiffin's staff at Ole Miss. The Rebels recently parted ways with cornerbacks coach Terrell Buckley. So Sam Carter going to leave Arkansas, head on over to Ole Miss to coach their DBs. Prior to his time at Arkansas, he worked under Barry Odom as a member of his support staff when he was the head coach at Mizzou. Texas A&M got some bad news yesterday as one of their 5-star linebacker commits, Harold Perkins, decommitted from the Aggies. He is a Houston, Texas native, ranked the number 1 linebacker in the country, the number 4 overall player in the class of 2022. And some people noticed on social media that his brother had posted that his brother Harold was decommitting. When he committed to A&M, he was their 6th 5-star recruit of the 2022 cycle. He is taking an official visit to LSU this weekend. And 24/7 Sports says his options are wide open right now. Florida also got an official visit from him earlier this month. And a lot of people think the Gators and the Tigers are the 2 favorites to land Harold Perkins now. So what can Brian Kelly and Billy Napier tell the kid to get him into their schools? They are scheduled for in-home visits this week with him, so we will see where Harold Perkins ends up. No sweat off A&M's back. They still have a very elite recruiting class, still ranked number 1. But some people starting to consider the transfer portal rankings and adding the transfers in with the recruits. And if that's the case, some people saying Alabama could still finish with the number 1 recruiting class because of the high-profile recruits or transfers they've added with their recruiting class. Got all that? Anyway, last thing, a quick note. Ole Miss women's basketball, they jumped into the top 25 this week, ranking 24th overall. I want to give a shout-out to them. It is the first time that the Ole Miss women's basketball program is ranked since 2007. So congrats to them. Having a nice season, worked very hard to get there. And so shout-out to them. And there you have it. That is around the conference. That is going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. Again, my thanks to Zach Blackerby coming on with us, talking all things Auburn. We'll continue to kind of go around the SEC and talk about the offseason for many of the football programs out there. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On SEC. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.